Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christianity is bodily. It's no secret spiritual mind contemplation. It's not some kind of religion where you have to go to find a guru who sits in a cave secluded from the world. It's not some kind of religion where you can boil it down to some kind of humanitarian essence. Christianity is bodily. And first of all, it comes to us bodily, in bodily form. And secondly, it makes us, as the church, into one body. In our gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus proclaims the news of Isaiah and sits down. He says, "Today, this writing has been fulfilled in your hearing." Literally, this text says that it's been fulfilled in your ears. In your ears, those two things on the sides of your head. And what was fulfilled? Jesus announces the year of the Lord's favor. That to those Jews sitting right there, that they had heard with their ears, that their Savior is in their midst. The one who takes away sin, who offers the true purity and forgiveness of God, the one who will usher in the kingdom of God where death no longer reigns, the true Messiah who will lead them out of captivity. And it's all fulfilled in their ears. This word of God is really no different for you either. God's word is fulfilled in your hearing. It's fulfilled in your ears. At the beginning of the service, I announce something to you all that is by Christ's authority. I said, "I forgive you all of your sins." Now, this is no throwaway line in the service. This is not my word. This is Christ's word to you. Christ's word, Christ saying, "I forgive you all of your sins." Forgiveness has been announced, and it was delivered into your ears. When God's word speaks, it's a done deal. When you hear you are forgiven, it's a done deal. It's for you. Nothing for you to do. Just receive these words. That's it. When the Pharisees heard the Messiah announce fulfillment among the people, they, however, didn't want to hear it. They began questioning the word. They didn't like the sound of it in their ears. That this boy from Nazareth, Joseph's son, announcing that he is the one who is fulfilling God's word. And what did they want to do? They wanted to throw him off a cliff. It's easy for us to despise the word, especially when it's bodily. We have a tendency to want to make Christianity into something is not bodily, but something more, we say. We want to make Christianity into something that's an amazing experience or feeling or large and grandiose. That's our sinful nature speaking. But we're not talking about here only those who despise the word and criticize it, but those who simply dismiss it and make light of it. as if it's nothing much. And it is perhaps worse to hear the word and dismiss it than to never have heard it at all. To despise the word, to despise the word of preaching, the preaching of it, is truly the unpardonable sin, because it means rejecting God's grace and only wanting judgment. And this is why the word has to be bodily. It has to be bodily because it comes to you through the mouth of a humble-looking preacher. It comes to you through some words written on a page. It comes to you through words spoken into your ears. And it does all of this because God seeks to fulfill his word of promise, release from captivity, give forgiveness, something you can hold on to, so that you can say, "Ah, yes, God's word is for me. I heard it spoken just the other day. I heard it spoken today. I heard it spoken over me with water. I heard it spoken to me with bread and wine." Declaring Christ's presence for you. Christ's word is spoken for you and fulfilled in your ears. It's bodily. It's spoken and fulfilled in your ears, and you receive it in your mouth at this meal. The Savior, who is bodily redeeming you and the whole world through his bodily death and resurrection. His word is bodily as it comes to you today. It's fulfilled in your ears. The word is bodily. That is number one. Number two is that because we have received this word bodily in our ears, we are the body of Christ. We have been brought together as one body, Christ as the head. For in this sense, you are not 30-some bodies sitting in the pews, but you are one body in Christ. You are joined together, whether you like it or not. God has joined you together into one people. One people with all his church throughout the world, through all time, and through all place, where his word of love prevails. But not all of you have the same gifts. Not all of you are eyes. Not all of you are noses. Not all of you are hands. Not all of you are feet. You are joined together in a miraculous way. No one part of the body is more important than the other. How much do we see this when one part of the body suffers? Maybe you only think yourself as a little pinky finger or a pinky toe. Maybe you think, "I'm not that important in the grand scheme of things, am I? But I can tell you that when I stub a toe, I become immediately aware of how important my little toe is. When I broke my finger while playing softball years ago, became immediately aware every day since that I would much rather not have a crippled little finger." When one little part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. When the least of the members of the body is amputated or missing, the whole body hurts. And that is the way it is with you and the church. You are one body composed of different parts. Just one member of the body of Christ suffers pain at the loss of a loved one. The whole body suffers. When one part of the body says that another is more or less important, the whole body of Christ suffers. When anyone is missing from the divine service, where the bodily word is preached, it's not just the pinky toe that hurts. The whole body hurts. But just as a small part of the body, like a pinky toe, hurts the whole body, when one small part of the body is honored, all rejoice together. If the hand of a surgeon heals someone, we don't simply rejoice over the hand. We honor the whole surgeon. If the feet of the runner are honored for making her fast, the whole person gets the honor. And in the same way, when one of you as a member of the body of Christ receive honor, we all rejoice. When one of you receives good news, we all rejoice. When one returns to receive God's word, we rejoice. In fact, Scripture says that all of the heavenly hosts rejoices at one who repents and receives God's grace and mercy. If just one of you are here to receive the goodness and the abundance of God's gifts day in and day out, we all rejoice together. We are all connected, and it happens because of the bodily word, the bodily Lord who has come to us, his cross, and in his resurrection, where he has taken all of our sins, all of our thinking ourselves less or more important than others in the body, all of our pride, all of our ego, all of our sin, all of our hurt. He took it all in his body, and he died, but he rose again, saying that God's word is bodily and defeats death itself for us and forgives us of all of our sin. And he speaks today, and he continues to gather people to himself. This is the bodily word of Christ. And you hear it every Sunday as forgiveness and life is preached to you, is proclaimed to you, is fulfilled in your ears. You are the body of Christ and all that that entails. It's not all that fancy sometimes. It's not all that glamorous. But that is who you are. That is what the bodily word of God has declared and fulfilled in your ears. Now, by the grace and the power of his Spirit, live into that reality that has been fulfilled for you. Live into the reality that you are the body of Christ. Amen. Now I invite you all to rise as we